ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be caused to stumble. It is written, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. It is written, and when he is come, he will convict the world in respect of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and ye behold me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world hath been judged. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is come, and ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye may have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ does not save men by his life, though that was holy, sinless, pure, nor even by his endless love, though that shall evermore endure. He does not save them by his words, though they shall never pass away, nor by his vast creative power that holds the elements in sway. He does not save them by his works, though he was ever doing good. The awful need was greater still. It took his death, his cross, his blood. Men preach today a crossless Christ, a strengthless Savior, vague and dim. They will not see their sinful state. They will not own their need of him.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, from John chapter 16, the message is, be of good cheer. That's what Jesus told the apostles in the last verse of John chapter 16. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now this was an encouraging thing for him to say in light of some of the dire predictions he had just made about the smiting of the shepherd and the persecution of his followers and the scattering of the flock. Just before this he had asked them, do ye now believe? He had been with them over 3 years. They had seen him raise the dead at least on 3 different occasions. The raising of Lazarus had been particularly impressive. A rotting corpse had been called back to life. Jesus said, do ye now believe? They had known him to feed the multitude on 2 different occasions, 5,000 on 1 occasion and 4,000 on another. Once he used 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and again 7 loaves and a few fishes. After these significant miracles, he could ask them, do ye now believe? They had seen him walk on the water, not the placid water of someone's swimming pool, but the waters of the sea when a storm threatened their boat. Do ye now believe? At another time, they heard his command to the sea to be still. Jesus asks them, do ye now believe? They had heard his matchless teaching at the preaching of the Sermon on the Mount. The reaction of the multitude was that he taught as one having authority. In view of his manner of teaching, he asks them, do ye now believe? No doubt many a preacher has felt the same way. We preach the gospel over and over again. We tell the death of the Lord on the cross and how he arose from the dead. The terms of pardon are explained, and time again we feel as though we need to ask the question that the Lord asked, "Do ye now believe?" In connection with this statement, Jesus told them to be of good cheer. "In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Tribulation, many of you know the meaning of that. Whether you're a Christian or not, we all have times of tribulation. Those times will come, but for the Christian, Jesus says, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The Christian has a happiness the world cannot have. We do not doubt that people in the world are happy. They used to advertise the happy hour. Actually, it was the miserable hour. They just thought they were happy. When they whooped it up, they seemed to be enjoying themselves. Did you ever see a dog gnawing a bone? He is happy, very, very happy. That is a type of happiness that the worldling has in his immorality, permissiveness, and spiritual stupidity. It is an animalistic happiness, like a dog gnawing a bone. I've said it several times, perhaps before, about the movie actress who died, whose husband died. Some time ago, it was said that three husbands showed up for the funeral to express their grief and sympathy. Seeing them all mingled together, someone observed, "They live like a bunch of dogs. They're happy, very happy." The Christian is the only one who is really living it up. The Christian is on a high all the time, 24 hours a day. Jesus has told us, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that he said that at the close of this chapter, because at the first of the chapter it looked as though the Christian would not have too much to be happy about. But Jesus says it. He does say it, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In the first verse of the chapter, he said, he was speaking to them that they should not be caused to stumble. What a haunting thing that is. There is the possibility that we can stumble. Jesus said so. Paul would later say, "Let everyone that thinketh he standeth take heed to himself, lest he fall." Before this he had said that he buffeted his body and brought it unto subjection, lest after having preached to others, he himself would become a castaway. If an apostle could stumble and be a castaway, that doesn't give us much hope of being stronger than these who had actually seen the Lord. Remember Judas? He was an apostle, and he fell. Sometimes misguided folks say you never can lose your salvation, but you just lose the joy of your salvation. That is double talk. Don't let anyone lure you into complacency about thinking that once saved, always saved, you can fall. But remember, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Today, the Lord sits at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us. When we stumble and fall, we can repent and ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name. And it is still the nail-scarred hand of Jesus that stays the Father from throwing us into hell. As a saved sinner, you can stumble and fall. Get up and stumble and fall again. Get up in Christ and stumble and fall again, and one of these days you will stumble and stagger right on through the pearly gates. As you think of your own weakness, no need to despair, for Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." In verse 4, Jesus told them that they would remember his words when the hour of trial came. They would remember how it was when he was with them. You see, Jesus served as a lightning rod for the apostles while he was on earth. He took the brunt of all the attacks. When the enemies asked why he ate with the publicans and sinners, they were not concerned whether the apostles ate or not. They were concerned only of what Jesus did. When they picked up stones to throw at Jesus, it was never at the apostles. It was always Jesus. They could not have cared less about the apostles. When they asked about the half-shekel payment, they said, "Doth not your teacher pay the half-shekel?" They did not care whether Peter paid it or not. They were concerned only about what the Lord did, that they might accuse him. When the apostles were in the Garden of Gethsemane, It was Jesus they seized. The apostles were perfectly safe on that occasion. Peter took out a sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. But even so, he was safe. They did not want the apostles. They wanted Jesus. If Peter had taken out of his pocket a portable atomic bomb, it wouldn't have made any difference. They were perfectly safe when they wanted only Jesus and Jesus alone. He was their lightning rod. As long as he was with them, they were safe. They were safe because he was with them. The time would come when they would have their chance. He would go away, and then the enemy would persecute them. We too are in on it today. They will persecute us. It would be time for Peter and John and the others to be scourged after Jesus ascended. Heads would roll. Stripes would be laid on in abundance. The reason for this is because the world hates Jesus. However, they cannot get to him in heaven. He is at the right hand of God, so they take it out on the followers of Jesus, both then and now. Remember, the world hates the gospel. They will not take the preaching of the truth lying down. You can expect opposition. It is a knock-down, drag-out fight all the way from here to the grave. In one way or another, the devil will oppose the preaching of the terms of pardon. But do not despair. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Another reason to be of good cheer is because of the arrival of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said when he comes, he will convict the world in respect of sin, righteousness, and the judgment. It was the Holy Spirit that convicted the people on the day of Pentecost that they had sinned. When Peter made that soul-searing charge that they had killed the Son of God, the Holy Spirit convicted them, and they cried out, "What shall we do?" Peter gave them the answer when he said, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They realized they had killed the Lord. The Holy Spirit can convict of many different sins, but the greatest sin of all is unbelief in the divinity and authority of Jesus Christ. Some today have never been convicted of sin. They believe what everybody says is right, and what everybody does is right. There is not much you can do with a person who does not realize he has sinned. Several times people have written through the years and have said as they listened to this broadcast, they got lost while driving their car. One man said he got lost and drove 40 miles out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we are trying to do. We are trying to get people lost. We would like to get as many as possible off the broad way that leads to destruction onto the narrow way that leads to life. If we could only convince everyone that without Christ you are a lost and damned to hell sinner. If people do not realize they are lost, why should they bother with the Lord and His church? It is the work of the Holy Spirit to convince them that they have sinned. He does, and He will. One man wrote and said he was guilty of everything except murder and rape. He may not have realized it, but his greatest sin was rejection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit also convinces in respect of righteousness, because Jesus has ascended to the Father. He is on the right hand of the Father. That's enough to vindicate him. He was right. They condemned him to die, but they were wrong, and Jesus was right. If he had not been right, he could never have been accepted by God the Father. The world said he was a blasphemer and a liar and nailed him to the cross. God the Father said, "My Son was right," and he gave him the throne. While Jesus sits on the right hand of God, the Father is saying to the world, my son was right. The world was wrong. Not only does the Holy Spirit convict in regard of sin and of righteousness, he also convicts in respect of the judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged. Sinner, your king, the devil, has been judged. By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the power of the devil over death was broken forever. The message to the Christian is, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Another reason for good cheer is in the security of the Word of God. Jesus told the apostles the Holy Spirit would guide them into all the truth. It was a progressive guidance. The whole of it was not dumped on the congregation that assembled on the day of Pentecost. They were not told at that time to elect elders and deacons. This would come later on as need arose. They were not told on that day that from henceforth they should be known as Christians. That would come later on also. But there was a time when there was a cutoff period, when they were told everything they needed to know. The day came when his revelation was complete. Peter said in his second epistle that the Lord's divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need to know is in the New Testament. Paul said all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We are not obligated to obey any command not found in the New Testament. No matter what bishop or archbishop says it, no matter what synod states it, no matter what conference or council prescribes it, only the Word of God. The Bible has everything we need to know in matters of sanctification and in matters of salvation. Some say this is the way. Others say, no, this is the way. We stand with the Bible in hand and say, this is the way. The apostles were guided, and the guidance is found in the New Testament. His Word still guides us into all the truth. The reason I believe that the terms of salvation are faith in Christ, repentance from sin, and immersion into Him is because I was guided that way. I was not guided by uninspired men, but by inspired men, men who spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. Because of the security of God's Word, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In verse 14 is another job that of the Holy Spirit that is given there. He was to glorify Jesus. Jesus is everything, and we as preachers are nothing. The preacher is not to be glorified. If he is, something is wrong with the preaching and the preacher. John the Baptist had it right. He said he must increase, I must decrease. If it does not glorify Jesus, then it is not of the Holy Spirit. It should be the ambition of every preacher to hear people say, what a wonderful Savior, not what a wonderful preacher. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would take of mine and declare it unto you. Our glory is in Him. The song says it well for us. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, that will be glory for me. Let Him increase in every message, in every prayer, in every song, in every contribution, because it is He that overcame the world. Be of good cheer. And then again in verses 16 and 22 of John 16 is the prediction of the death and resurrection. He said, a little while, and ye behold me no more. And yet a little while, and ye will see me again. In the 22nd verse, he said in regards to his death and resurrection, ye now have sorrow, but I will see you again. Think of that. I will see you again. He was speaking about himself, but when we consider that what he said to John in John 14, because I live, ye shall live also, it means much to us as far as the righteous dead are concerned. Think of it. A little while, and I will see you again. Those who go on ahead can say to those who remain, a little while, and I will see you again. How long is a little while? The poem expresses it for us. Here there are tears and many fears, but all will be bright with morning light in just a little while. Here there are sighs and stormy skies, but all cries will cease and there will be peace in just a little while. Here there are groans and hurt heart moans, but we'll understand in God's fair land in just a little while. The storms may rage with advancing age, but we'll have no care, no burdens to bear in just a little while. That is what Jesus said to the apostles. I am leaving you, but I will see you again. And now this final thought. Jesus said it, and I repeat it on his behalf. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We can be of good cheer also because he said, I have overcome the world. I know that it's difficult for us to overcome anything. It is difficult for me to overcome anything. My hometown preacher gave me a pocket New Testament upon graduating from high school. In the back of that book, he had written three scriptural references. One of those references was Philippians 4:13. That verse said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That statement of Paul was badly needed back in the days of the Big Depression. There are a lot of things I cannot do, but a lot of things I can do through the power that the Lord Jesus Christ supplies. I have heard somewhere or read, whichever it was, I've forgotten, the story, the make-believe story, I suppose, of a flea that was riding down the road on the back of an elephant. The elephant came to a wooden bridge. The bridge was old and looked like it had seen better days and was badly in need of repairs. But the elephant started across the bridge anyway. The old timbers began to creak, shake, and groan. But the elephant came to the other side. When he got to the other side, the flea on his back gave a sigh of relief and said to the elephant, Boy, we surely did make that bridge shake, didn't we? That is a story of the life of the Christian. That is not too much, there's anything that we can accomplish alone. But Jesus said, Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Paul said on the Lord's behalf, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, Jesus can do anything with your life and with mine that he wants to do. We are like the flea on the elephant's back. We're just going along for the ride. That ride will mean much in our lives depending on your situation. Now, as far as this radio program is concerned, every time I hear of some faraway place, of someone who has turned to the Lord, whether it be from a prisoner in an Egyptian jailhouse or from a professor in a university in India or perhaps from someone in Africa pleading for a copy of the Bible, it just seems natural for me to say, Boy, we surely did make that bridge shake, didn't we? Ladies and gentlemen, remember this promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to the apostles and to us, Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only to reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel. as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at this same time, don't forget, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that as far as the Christian is concerned, God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.